More or Nothing.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of More or Nothing with Ryan and Max. Boys, how are we doing?
No. Let's ask how you're doing, Mark.
I'm fine.
Mark? Oi, listen, a few weeks ago we were chatting about Max, you know, and going out drinking, and we were a bit worried about him. And now you, right? This was, we chatting yesterday. Let's shoot this Monday morning. We're going to record. And then, as per usual, I'm the one in the group asking, right, boys, we all good for nine. Max does his normal, doesn't even reply. But when I phone him, goes, yeah, that's fine. Like, what's the problem? And I'm like, well, give me a sort of heads up that you acknowledged my message. Whereas you, on the other hand, I phoned you and it was a, hello. And someone's still in bed at 9 o'clock.
There's no like really laddie reason. My in-laws are here over for Easter, and so the kids have gone off and with them. So I was like, well, I'd settled in. I was like, I'm getting myself a solid 14-hour kip. And so I was completely dead to the world when you rang me. I was like, and also your number didn't come up. It just had your phone number. So I was like, oh, who's calling me? And then I think it's probably because my phone was, I don't know, something to do with my phone probably being bugged or whatever. And then I was literally like, hello? And then you're like, are you all right? We're jumping on in 3 minutes. I was like, what?
Okay, so you're all right. There's nothing to worry about.
Fully holstered.
Sure,
fully
holstered for a minute. Yeah. Max even thought you had a beer in your hand. Lift your coffee cup up.
And yeah, I was like, maybe he's... Yeah, I was thinking the kids can't be there because you've slept in. That would be impossible, especially with your son. He'd be like, Daddy, wake up. The Spider-Man vibes, let's go.
Yeah, papa. Let's see you play, papa.
Your bilingual son. But what did you do for Easter yesterday?
Just like a really nice, I did the Hester leg of lamb. Yeah, Easter egg hunt.
Oh,
that's very nice.
Lovely.
Nailed that it. Does sound. It has anchovies in it.
Yeah, very good for the umami lamb.
Yeah, it's really nice. Very nice. Really good. So,
Max, you would have done something nice for
Easter. Oh, no, I had an absolute, mate, I was, no kids, so you don't, I just sat here and, mate, I've got the worst knee, like, grass burn from the game as well. So I was just like, peeling sheets off my knee, and then I was just like, I'm just going to become an absolute slob today. So I went full.
You didn't even do a Sunday roast or anything?
No, because the lady was out for night shift for the paramedics, and I was just here home alone, sadly, on my ones.
Oh, bless your soul.
Like, no, I wasn't that bad. I was having a great time. Of a woman with Al Pacino, just on leave. Not for a few movies. Great movie though. Really enjoyed it.
Oh, Hoorah! We should start doing film reviews. That could be our part of our extra content. How good, by the way, is The Gentleman?
Series. Did you enjoy it? Yeah, I thought it was fun. It was really fun. Yeah.
Okay, so good. Right. So bloody good. Oh well, I got
June
back.
2. Very good. Very good. June 2 with Timothy Chalamet, Josh Brolin. It's like an epic Sand Jesus.
Oh, Dune 2. Oh, mate, sorry. I'm waiting to see it because I've just rewatched Dune 1 to make sure I'm back up to.
Make sure you're ready.
Yeah.
Oh, mate. It's very good.
Oh, okay. That's it.
Yeah. Joseph Campbell vibes everywhere.
Well, I'm glad to find out that you boys have laid off the booze this weekend because I was off it again.
No, you weren't.
I was.
Did you do yesterday? Did you have an Easter egg hunt galore and the whole shebang?
Boys, I went down to Scarlett's. I went obviously to commentate on the game, but left on Friday. Didn't get back till about 2:30 yesterday afternoon because it's.
Oh yeah, you were at a nice steak restaurant, weren't you?
Oh yes, it was very, very nice.
Was it?
Yeah. So that was nice with the big man Aki Seuli, who also Nico Matawalu was meant to come for breakfast.
He's like, no,
didn't even turn up. Just literally didn't turn up. Text me. He was meant to be there at 5:30 that evening. Sorry, brother, I was knocked out.
That's a man after my own heart. I like that. Just
Proper Fiji time. But no, it was a busy old weekend for what was just one game. And then got back yesterday. And I did a lovely leg of lamb.
Talk us through it. Go on.
Same sort of thing. I didn't have any anchovies, but I did see that on one of the recipes that I was looking at on the way back. But just your standard salt, garlic, rosemary, thyme, blended up, just rubber. Use my meter pen.
I did as well.
We shouldn't plug them. But
it's such a good contraption, and also the app, the little masterclass tutorials for like the condiment game. Yeah. Oh my god, blue cheese sauce! You ever made it off that? Very, very easy.
Is it?
Quite excellent.
I just love that I don't have to turn on the timer anymore. Do you know what I mean? Like, I used to be like, all right, work it out. How many grams is my, like, how many, measure it up and everything. I'd be like, oh, it's about 2 hours, this whole thing. And then you're watching it the whole time. Whereas now it's like, oh, great. Take it out. Easy.
Brilliant.
Just stick it in and stick it in. Max, you had a good weekend, though. Good win at the weekend for you boys, eh?
Oh, mate. What a day out. It got loose, though. I was like, this is going to be a loose game. We're playing everything. We overplayed a little. Gloucester got on top of some of them. They took the lead into the half, and but had faith in the boys to pull through. Got on for like 15-20 minutes. Had a little sort of soiree out there. It was great fun, mate. Down the home.
Who are you out with?
It was at Gloucester, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was at Gloucester. Yeah. Oh no, it didn't go out. It was just very, very genial, jovial in the changing rooms after. There's real buzz being built. I think it's looking nice, lads. It's looking nice.
Was there a good atmosphere? Because obviously the dark, really, it's going to be.
Yeah, it was heaving. It was lovely. Weather was like pumping. It was just a great day out. Really, really good.
Max, you'll appreciate this. You might have spotted it in the group. I did like this this stat that since the resumption of rugby post Six Nations, every team has lost. They've played twice and has lost at least one game, except Bristol.
Mighty Bears, yes. How good. How bloody good. But yeah, Gloucester were still on it, though. Mate, Gloucester have a Sasquatch. Lads, Cam Jordan, the freakish second row, mate. He was an absolute defender contorter. Hell of a carrier. Bloke carries pill. You know when you're running back and you're watching someone carry against your team and you're like just on the side a bit, you're like two out from the tackle, you just see someone just getting some hard yak, like yards after carry. You're just like, oh, that looks horrible. Good luck, lads. You're just like, oh. But yeah, he played very well. And then Hathaway, obviously, the young winger, had a wonder try for Gloucester. Very good.
Did you ask Mercer? Was he there? I'm guessing he was.
Yeah, Zachy was there. He had a decent little break as well, actually.
Yeah, but less about the rugby. You're not getting any dirt on him. Did you say, listen, are you off to France? Are you sticking around?
Nah, I didn't ask him that. What we'll do is we'll get him back on. We'll get him back on. And we'll interrogate him.
But you didn't know, no stick from the, like, the Gloucester massive?
It's always the Eeyore. Yeah, everyone's getting it. You know when you're warming up and then you drop something, everyone's losing it.
Really? Are they just watching you like hawks? Like, go on, drop it.
They're like right there as well. So they're just flying into you. It's like their favourite thing to do. It's fair play. I love it. It's all part of the atmosphere. But BV, Bernard Van Rens, oh my goodness. He was a problem. Greased a deer. It was outrageous.
He was man of the match, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was superb. He's been some signing this year. He's been insane.
We talked about him before, like, because when we went down to watch you train, and he doesn't come over as being like a big guy.
Or a bruiser. No, he's a honey badger, mate. He's like straight mustard. Just desperate to get forward, just win collisions, just a real rat of a man. He's class.
It's like a jacked up ferret.
Yeah, exactly.
Turn your head around. Let me see your little mullet that you're growing at the moment. It's coming on.
It's coming on. Yeah.
Because his is just pure health, isn't it?
It's just L'Oreal because he's worth it. It is class. Luscious.
I think it's the fringe that he cuts in his hair. I cut my kid's hair and just do a straight ruler line. That's what I love about it. He doesn't try and tie it up. He's happy with it just looking shit.
Oh, the fringe gets me. It is not. It's a strange look. He looks like he's got Davy Crockett's hat on, doesn't it? Just a full, like, animal, just like a raccoon hat just on his head. It's wild.
That's it. Oh, my God, that's it. It's like Peter Pan, you know, the Lost Boys.
Yeah.
Oh, what a legend. I love it.
Hell of a boy. Hell of a boy.
But a good win. And we talked about it last week, and there's got to be a bit of a, like, a a feeling from, because you've had all the boys together for so long over the Six Nations period, and a few other teams have lost players, but you haven't got an easy run in, have you?
It's gonna get, it gets tasty now.
You've got Quinns and Sarries and
Leicester and Newcastle. So Newcastle, get them next. Then we got Leicester. Hopefully they don't find too much form soon. But yeah,
to be fair, those two, you could pick up. Oh, there go the balloons again. You could pick up pretty good points actually from Leicester and Newcastle. I mean, you expect at least.
But it's a Welford road, so. It's always a battle there.
And then it's down to the last two against Sarries and Quinns, which you pretty much have to win to make it to the top four.
Mate, it's all to play for. It's all very tasty. Edification beckons.
Ooh, lovely.
With all of that in context, Max, let's move on to a massive referee and controversy. But obviously, that in a way kind of affects you guys because a Quinns player in the sin bin for just 7 minutes, coming back on, making a massive, quite an important tackle on Will Muir, I think, against Bath. You look at that, sort of, it's really fine margins on something like that because Bath, let's say, make the greatest comeback ever, potentially. And then suddenly Quinns have lost the game or have drawn the game and, you know, it helps your cause. And you're looking at this whole thing saying, I mean, is there a sense, even from a Bristol aspect of like, well, that was a bit weird and ridiculous?
Yeah, I got some people messaging me about that, being like, how is this not more of a thing? How is this not being blown up to be huge? Obviously, Quinns aren't really at fault here. It's all down to the officials.
You're blaming the officials?
Well, bro, you know when I've been binned. You know what happens. They're right on top of you. The officials right on top of you.
Talk about it again.
Yeah, like he's fully there. He's like time checking the whole time. Like, I would never have seen someone botching it by 3 minutes. That just seems like unbelievable to me.
How does it happen? You guys have been there. You've been yellow carded, right? Because bizarrely, from a sort of viewing perspective, we tend to go off the clock from, as you'd expect, from whoever the broadcaster is has the clock up there, and then it starts focusing down, and they're on the bike and they're ready to come on. How can it happen that you can literally three... I mean, that's a hell of a long time, 30% of the time.
I reckon, matey, that because there is someone...
There's a guy who stands there. Yeah, you go.
And he must have... He's obviously got a clock. I reckon he's forgotten to put the clock on. Or
yeah, he's just like... He's like, look back. He's like, oh, when was it?
It's about done now.
And then, like, Herbst is obviously just chilling out. He's just on the bed. He's just waiting until he gets told to come out. And then he's just gone when the official's been like, 10 minutes is up.
Unless he doesn't have his stopwatch and he's going 1,000.
Yeah. Mate, go on.
The other thing is, Herbst, like, whenever, if I got a yellow card though, right before you start then getting warmed up, you sit there for probably 7 minutes, which he did. And then you go up and you try and warm up next to him because you want to get on the pitch as soon as possible. So it's the next break in play. So you're going, oh, can I go on yet? And they're like, no. And you can really piss them off by just keep going. Can I go on? Can I go on yet? Can I go on yet? Whereas this bloke's just gone. He's obviously letting on. This is quite interesting. I saw this on Twitter. Someone had put with Herbstgate. I was told by someone who was near the bench yesterday that the Bath players and staff were going absolutely crackers. I'm really surprised, therefore, that the match didn't get stopped so the officials could get together and say, listen, have we got a bit of a problem here? So by the sounds of it, it wasn't like no one sort of noticed it. It was the chat is that the Bath bench and the coaches were going, oh, hold on a minute, he's going on too early. So something should have been stopped. But again, it's just like, oh, we've made a mistake. Quick, stick our head in the sand.
Yeah, that's it. It's not just pause, take a breather, have a think. Have we got everything right? Because it looks like the ref had no idea either. Of course, why would he? Because he would expect to lean on the.
Yeah, he's got way too much to.
Too much going on. But if you're hurt, what's going? Do you reckon? I mean, what's he saying? He's like, "Can I come on?" And then they're like, "All right." And he's like, "All right." And then like the Bath bench are going absolutely nuts, and he's like, "Oh, don't worry about them. They don't know what they're talking about."
Yeah, it's just mental. Like the fact that we're talking about stuff like this again, like how are they getting it? And I know everyone's going, oh, you've got to be careful, be good to the refs, you know. But the amount of times we're talking about it, they're fucking up.
Yeah, that's a big boo-boo. That's a big boo-boo.
With how tight the Premiership is at the moment, like you said, Mark, and like Max and Bristol pushing for that top four spot. I listen, in the context of the game, would it have made a huge difference? We won't know. But it is frustrating. It is frustrating when you look at it. Let's talk. I mean, talking about the game, what about like that match? The way that Quinn's just pulled away at the stoop, and it looked bouncing there.
Yeah, they were very nice tries, weren't they? Like length of the field, jobbies, Marcus Smith doing some wild stuff, Louis Liner. But then, man, the grit from that lucky Bath team just being like, nah, let's get back in this one. Mental.
That is Quinn's though, isn't it? Like, yeah. Always speak about it. Like they either
just a bit like bipolar.
Well, it is exciting, but part of that is like, and that's probably why like this yellow card stuff come around, because part of it is like the complete madness of that game. Like you do not see that happening, and Bath just so good in that second half.
It's two teams you want to see get loose. They play some good rugby this year. Like when Quinn's getting that mode, you're like, oh, this is gonna be a hell of a game. You just know you're gonna be running back. There's gonna be some scrambling in D.
That sort of game as a product is exactly the kind of thing we need to be seeing all the time, right? I mean, that is just it's so bonkers. And to be fair, like Bristol, you said it last week, Max, that your kind of mentality switch has gone from quite a conservative, pragmatic approach to, you know, this is what we do. We play rugby, we get ball in hand, and suddenly you know, the results are coming with it. And actually, we've talked about this before. This is the sort of thing that rugby needs. And you could tell down at the stoop that is what is going to be continue to bring people in through the turnstiles and continue to generate some, hopefully some dollars at some point.
Yeah, for sure. I just like, it's weird, isn't it? Cause the game sort of goes with different trends like year on year, doesn't it? And then defenses sort of adapt to playing against like conservative kicking game, dropping people into the backfield, etc. And then suddenly the nouveau sort of style would be more like ball in hand, and then there's more space because defenses are used to having like guys in the backfield and defending that sort of kicking game and working on their kick chase. So like obviously the line is going back to like block kick chasers, etc. So if you're playing from everywhere, there's going to be space now. So it's just quite interesting to see how the game's sort of changing.
What is mental, though? I think they went and got demolished by Saris last week. And then they suddenly go up against second in the league, Bath, who, let's face it, have been up there with Northampton this season, haven't they?
Yeah.
And they just pull that out of the bag. You're just like, where does it come from? Like, it is. You're right, though. It is good to see. You want to see that. But fuck, you know, imagine like reviewing that on a Monday morning. Oh, by the way, you're off this week, aren't you?
Yeah, no, Europe for us, mate. So it gave us
the whole week. Have you got a whole week off?
Hmm.
Oh, lovely. You getting off anywhere nice?
No, I'm just going to chill, I think. Do a few bits around the house, bit of DIY. A
little heads up would have been
good. Yeah, we'll go down and fit. Okay, I guess we're going down to see Max this week.
Yes.
Well, we can do that.
But yeah, I mean, it's funny with that, you say with the Quins, the way it's almost like I think of it like the France side that I grew up with, where you're like, you can never, these days you can't really tell, but when they turn it on, it's just, it's absolutely sublime. Is that the sort of game, though, that kind of Quins and Bath will be bizarrely happy with? Like, is that who's going to be? I mean, obviously, Quins are going to be the happier side, but Bath, at the end of the day, managed to, you know, come back in.
With 2 points, getting 2 points from that, that's a hell of a result. Like, at one point, what was it? 38-0 to Quins. So, like, coming back into that, that was after half time. So, like, coming back into that with 2 points, you'd be stoked with that.
Well, it means a lot getting these bonus points. Like you look at Saris, like they were down and out, and they managed to get that 1 point, which puts them into third, puts them 2 points away from you boys. So all these little things with the four try bonus points, the losing bonus points, they all add up when it's that tight at the top. So, and we'll get on to the Northampton Saris game in a minute, I'm sure. But like again, you must be looking at it again. You go, fuck it, hold on, what are you doing, Northampton? Like, keep them out there. They get that try right at the end, at the death. and they get a 4-try bonus point. It's tight at the top. It's tight in the middle.
Yeah, even someone like Sale, right? You're like, Sale were down and out. We talked them down and out. Do you know what I mean? 7 days ago, we're like, or 8 days ago, we're like, you know what? Bad run since Christmas. They have dropped from, you know, second all the way down eighth. And then suddenly they're only 3 points behind you guys. And they are, you know, they're going to be thinking a late run is possible. Win 4 out of 4 type thing.
Exactly. Here, by the way, I was just thinking about it now. Mark, when I phoned you this morning, I don't know why my brain's gone off to this again. When I phoned you this morning and you answered like that.
Don't ask me what I was wearing. Go on.
No. Part of me did think this is an April Fool's. They're winding me up. They think it's funny to pretend that they've all forgotten that the podcast is on this morning. And I was like, they've neither of them replied. Like, that's not like Mark. Ha ha, very funny boys. And I was waiting to like come on here at 9 and then no one come on. That's pissing me off a bit. By the way, some of the April Fool's stuff, you're like, oh, come on. Like, fucking makes that up, it's half believable. You know what
I mean? Yeah, it's got to be more subtle, doesn't it? It's just it gets too outrageous.
Well, what's the better one? Remind me of a good one that you can think of that really worked.
Well, I don't really remember any good ones. I think there's been a few, haven't they? But people make them just so outrageous that it's stupid that you're like, come on, drop us out. Whereas my missus got the kids this morning. The kids are obsessed with Roblox.
Mate, that's a money driller.
They're obsessed with it. And Bex found a Sky News thing saying Roblox banned in the UK. And the kids were like nearly in tears.
That's a great one.
I like that. We should have created a good one. We should have had like Ryan Wilson signs for Glasgow Warriors or something. But then that just attracts a lot of people like, bullshit, he's shy.
All these haters don't want him back. Hated him when he was here.
Or Mac Leaf signs in the URC or something like that.
Can you remember at the club anything like in your time where someone got it right? You know, someone April, you know, got it pranked up hard, and people, you know, people actually fell for it.
Well, the problem is any news on a
It's just April, so that everyone April doesn't believe even real things. Yeah.
Exactly. So you should. That is the funniest stuff. If there is real stuff, and then people start writing going, bullshit.
Not going.
We had to.
We should have definitely done something on here.
I always remember a story from actually it was a teacher at my old school, but he said that they'd been on a stag do around that time, and it had given them an idea. It wasn't on the 1st of April, but they'd given them an idea for the stag. So in the run up, they'd said, right, everyone's going to buy, I think it was like 20 quid's worth of lottery tickets. And what if any of us win, that goes into like the stag. And then they'd hired a private room in a pub, and at the time had actually recorded, this is like VHS style. So they recorded they pre-recorded the previous week's lottery. Then they'd gone and bought the tickets and then played it. And the guy, who had it, you know, who won it was the stag and went like absolutely nuts.
The fake scratch cards.
Fake scratch cards are good. They're a bit harsh though. That was a secret.
It's so horrible. Apparently, he called up work saying he wasn't coming in on Monday and never coming back in, all that sort of stuff. And they were like, "Oh, when do we kind of rein this back in?" But pretty harsh.
I'm going to take this opportunity, Max, to say a big thank you to Wolf Craig Distillers, our sponsors that have been with us all the way. A huge thank you to them. And you can head over to their website, which is
wolfcraig.com.
Grab yourself some lovely bottles of gin or maybe a little dram of whiskey. The 12-year-old, 15-year-old, not 30-year-old and a 35-year-old it is. But go over there, grab yourself a bottle of something special, even as a little gift. And big thank you to those boys at Wolf Craig.
We are talking now. We mentioned how entertaining Quinns versus Bath was, and we're going to need a hell of a lot more of that. There's a thing that came out this week. I don't know if you saw it, that every team in the Prem is operating at a loss, average loss of £5 million. That is. Firstly, are we surprised? Do we think that that's
No, I'm not surprised. Are we, comparatively to other years, Is it a lot more?
Well, I'm not that up to speed on the old business side of things, but is that the same in most sports, Mark? You'll know more.
Not in France. So France, they don't, because of the they have. Well, I mean, there are quite financial with the capping and stuff, but they don't run, I think, at similar losses. But then they have bigger gate receipts. But the problem is rugby relies a lot on gate receipts, where increasingly the bigger sports rely on
sponsorship,
TV rights. See, with football, that's the main one. These days, they don't, you know, it's almost it's not inconsequential, but you know, the biggest clubs don't need that. You know, they're happy taking tourist fans, because actually there's a lot more to be made from the broadcast rights. But yeah, I don't know how it works with the URC. I don't know whether they're also operating at similar losses.
I think the Prem itself, though, is a product with the TNT new deal.
Yeah.
There was no other buyers, so I think they could offer less. So they bought it for even less this time, I'm pretty sure.
Right, yeah, that was...
Well, the other thing that doesn't help as well is obviously there's less teams now, so there's less matches, therefore...
Less gate money.
Where they make their big money on match days, where they sell tickets and stuff, whatnot. So that's not going to help the cause either, is it? But listen, you're seeing... I think, personally, especially when I'm watching stuff like the matches down at Gloucester and the stuff at the Stoop at the weekend, they're filling the stands up, they're selling out. Like after COVID 4 years ago and... it's starting to come back. I think it's starting to build back up, and we've just got to make sure, keep the product as good as it can be. And that is by trying to find ways to speed it up. But when you've got so many inconsistencies at the moment, it's pissing a lot of people off. Because we'll get on to a few other bits in a minute, because there's something else I want to talk about.
But just quickly on that, though, Ryan, I think the fact that the Prem have refocused, I don't know if you've heard, if this has been internalised much for you guys, Max, but, you know, they saw the impact, the full contact, and how a lot that you remember what, when we watched it, it's very much, look how big the hits are. Look how, like, this is gladiatorial. Look how basically badass aggressive this is. And the Prem have kind of put that at the front and center. And, you know, a little bit like American football does a similar thing, you know, the Beauty and the Beast type thing. And that, in a way, shifts it towards this entertainment, right? You know, and have you seen any? Have you had a feeling of that at all, Max? Or it's just that's just the kind of marketing around the side.
I guess I haven't sensed there's been a narrative change in that much, because obviously there's still that sort of ominous lawsuit looming in the background. But I think there has to be an element of glorifying that. And that's part of the brand, isn't it? That's part of the sort of appeal that is this game. So
people love to see it. I know it sounds awful, but people love to see that. And you watch, you know, when it was Kelsey.
Well, you look at the best players in the world. Like they're all about that. That's exactly what they're on. Like Steph Dutoy in the World Cup final, etc. Like that is the game. That's where it's won up front, physically.
But in any case, Ryan, you had something you really wanted to open up to us about.
No, I don't know whether I'm just jumping the gun. We just get straight on to St. Saris, because there's a few bits in that game which I'm looking at going, what is going on here? But most of all, and listen, Piercy, I like him. Good bloke. His old man does insurance. He was maybe a bit overpriced back in the day, but here, we have it. But what's he doing asking, there's a shot clock for a reason. There is a shot clock for a reason. The kicker has as long as he wants, wherever he is kicking his conversion from or his penalty on the pitch.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that it's right in front of the post for Finn Smith, the fans are going mad behind. I'm not too sure the whole thing around it, but he said, can you speed it up? And you're going, well, no, I've got... Finn Smith should not have to speed up his kick, whether it's in front of the post 10 metres away or whether it's on the touchline. And he's going, oh, for the spirit of the game. Oh, that is dangerous if you start throwing that one out there and going, spirit of the game. What is the spirit of the game? And again, if you're involved in things maybe they shouldn't, you're going, oh, hold on a minute. What thoughts on that, Max? You can't start throwing shit like that in.
No, I'm with you entirely. That's just It's just, it is what it is. The shot clock's the shot clock. Leave it be. Just let him do it. Give him a warning. That's it.
So you think he's like, but it's in front of the post. So you're like, oh, mate, slot it over.
No, it's fucking this. I know. It's just, you're not allowed to say it. You're not allowed to say it again, because I just, there's so many little things like this now. And if referees are like going, oh, you know, we've got to be protected, then you can't be weighing in on stuff like that and going, come on, not in the spirit of the game, hurry up. You're like, hold on a minute, mate. I would have, for a laugh, turned around and be like, whoa, hold on a minute. Maybe backheeled it over for a laugh, you know. But
a la Cruz, a la Georgia.
Yeah, I was just quite surprised at that, and you're gonna get yourself in a bit of trouble there if we start weighing on that, because, you know, spirit of the game. What is the spirit of the game?
To think of every, the way you played it for your whole career, is the exact opposite of
manners.
Some people see the spirit of the game as they want violence.
A hooligan's game played by gentlemen, man. A hooligan's game, a ruffian's game played by gentlemen.
Yeah, that is not in the laws. Stick within the laws. Don't start twisting them.
What about when you undo shoelaces at the bottom of a rock? Is that towards the spirit?
There you are. Would that? Is there a law saying you can't do that? Because referees, I reckon, could ping you for that if you do it. I was always careful when I did it, but there is a chance they'd be like, that's...
Yeah, but I feel like if I was at the bottom of a ruck with you, yeah, I'd, like, lick your eyeball or something. Like, I'd do something. Like that. Is that, like, we'd make out? Is that, like, in the spirit of the game?
Exactly. The camera widens and it's just you guys just pulling at the moment.
Genuinely, if that was the case, I'd be like, come here. And that... would probably get you in some hot water.
Yeah, but would it?
I think it would. Like, look.
It depends on who you do it to, I suppose. It depends on who you do it to. Some people might laugh and enjoy it.
I know you'd laugh and enjoy it.
I'd think it was amazing. Whereas you imagine, like, for example, your big man Herbst.
Yeah, you wouldn't do it to him. No. He'd let go and let Affleck and just crush your heart.
Game of Thrones, you know, like the mountain. It just goes through his eyeballs.
He just implode your skull with his ginormous mandible hands.
But whilst we're on St. Sarri's, Finn Smith is the real deal.
He's
doing the business. And how good did they look?
Lads. Ollie Sloane needs to get hot rod into that England team, doesn't he? Come on now. He's just outrageous. We've talked about him before, but he's a real problem, a sincere issue for any defenders. Obviously, Tommy Freeman had a strong game as well, but, mate, he needs to get involved.
I love how he wears black boots. I don't know why. You know, you get flashy wingers. The fact that he's got black socks.
Tourist about him.
I like that.
I'll do
bit
that.
Of a grub.
I'll do that through the contact, not space, face. I'm having it. Yeah.
He looks quick even without white boots. Like, there is a thing when you wear white boots, you feel faster and you look faster. I reckon he looks quick with black boots. So I can only imagine how quick he'd look with a pair of white or bright coloured boots. But he does. He looks the real deal on Slight Home. I like him for a player. He's got to be knocking on the door for the autumn test, isn't it?
100%.
Is there any piece of kit, guys, that like draws players like a moth to a flame, where you're like, we're going to have to hurt this human being because he's wearing, let's say, white boots or something else, where you're like, ooh, like you're going to get
a Gryffindor helmet like Max wore recently.
Yeah, like that will get you scrutinised quick. They'll be like, yeah, they're on you. We're playing Quidditch, etc.
Gloves would just get you an absolute sledging if you wore gloves. Mate, now.
Johnny Hill laid me out probably for that reason. You're like running back in the chase line trying to block someone. Johnny Hill's just absolutely laid me out like a lawn chair. I've gone down. I'm like, who was that? Watched it back and like the next day, I was like, oh, you. But he was giving me the whole game for the hat helmet. So, he's a good man. He's a great man.
I remember I got slagged off because they thought I was wearing shin pads once, where I wasn't. I wasn't wearing shin pads, but shin pads would be one. But I, you know, like the felt mat. You know the felt you make the blocks out of for your line out lifters.
Yeah.
I had split all my shins open, and I put them on the front, and I used to get whacked, and they split. So for like a a month I had to put the felt on my things, but it looked like I had little shin pads on. And people were like, you've got fucking shin pads on. I was like, they're not shin pads.
They're not shin pads. It's an injury. It's a chronic injury.
Yeah, it's just plasters. Oh, God, so embarrassing. I had to try and get rid of them pretty quick. I should have put them the other way around, make it look like I had big calves, because fucking there's nothing.
To be fair, though, when I first came into the league, though, if you were like type 5 and you were wearing like razzle white boots, you got in trouble. I think at Leicester it was like a rule.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah, you just can't wear, you have to stay black on black. It can't be anything.
Yeah, until a certain amount of caps, wasn't it?
Yeah,
something like that. 100 caps or something.
100 caps earns you coloured boots.
Yeah, yeah, I heard like Richard Cockle when he was at Edinburgh was like, I think was it McCalman that was had like Crocs or something, and he just cut them up with a pair of scissors or something and cut them out. I was like, oh my God, that is incredibly toxic. But I kind of respect it.
It was toxic. Hold on a minute. You kind of respect it. Can you imagine?
No, if he cut my Crocs up, I'd be like, no. Yeah, no.
Imagine Max with Cockerell as a coach. I was sent a few of the clips from last week. You turned up with your vest.
Oh, Harry Rands put one up, didn't he?
Hello, how are you? Oh. John McLean.
You imagine Richard Cockerell, you turn up with Crocs, white vest, and some like a tucked
Yeah, you're right. I'd be anathema to his being. He'd be like, he'd hate me on a cellular level, I think.
I reckon. Yeah. I don't. Whereas him in the Georgia sort of setup is perfect. Oh, it's like manly. Just
that's
like,
it. That's him. Yeah, he's bathing in his.
We must
man.
Fight. We must fight each other.
Hey, what do we It'll think about the Georgians calling out Wales, being like, come on then, right here, take a shot.
That's not the Georgians. That is just Cockerell being Cockerell. That's all that is. That is him trying to go in there and cause. And that's probably why they've sort of leant towards him, because they want someone in there that's going to go and have a bit of a voice. You know, ruffle some feathers, exactly. Go and have a bit of a voice for Georgia. And that's him just trying to, you know.
There was some
funny memes out there. There was a skeleton on a computer. I think Ball Carrier put it out. And it was like Wales replying to the... Wales replying to the message from Georgia, and it's just a skeleton email, still waiting to do it. Whilst you're on it, Matt, are you genuinely using beef fat as a moisturiser at the moment? Because I did worry. Have you seen this, Mark? No. I think it was Genge put something up on his, with Max in the changing room rubbing beef fat on his face.
What? Yeah, yeah. It's got like a type of like linoleic acid or something that's very similar to your own skin, etc. And it's just so nice. You should try it. The only problem is you do smell bovine.
You just smell like a Sunday roast. What are you like?
Yeah, you smell like a great big tasty piece of meat. Woof. All you gotta do is put a tiny little bit of lavender essential oil, and then you'll be smelling like Morgan Freeman's voice. Come
on. What about you?
So you rub a little bit. You're getting the crow's feet with a little bit of beef.
Yeah, yeah. So I just get right in there, and they're just like, "Come on now."
Did you buy it from? Is it actually a product for your face, or is it a product?
No. It's a product for daddies. But it's so much cheaper than if you go for beef tallow that's made for people. They like put jojoba and they like brand it in a certain way, and they charge like 40 quid for it. Bloody moisturizer. Whereas if you buy just beef tallow, then you add your own essential oil. It's like nothing.
Oh, yeah, but hang on, aren't you okay? We were talking about having the piss taken out of you as soon as when you came on, you know, against Gloucester, and you're like, doesn't somebody like confused? Like, why am I smelling so much like meat, but also hint of lavender in there?
Nah, it's just, everyone's just a sweaty mess by that point, Mark. It's too late. But yeah, I suppose it could happen, but it's all right.
I think that's probably, we are happy with our little roundup of the Prem. Again, quick word on Sale. Do we think they're going to be up and amongst it now? Have they beaten their Christmas blues?
No, still. Their destiny is still sort of within their hands, is it? If they win everything?
Well, no, because they're... Well, yeah, I guess yes and no, in as far as they would have to be. I just have a look who else they're playing. Their last
well, they four. Hammered a they hammered a woeful Exeter. The Exeter
it was
terrible.
A strange game, wasn't it? Yeah, they didn't look quite right at all.
But you know, if they get 5 points, they're playing. They're at home to Harlequins on the 21st. So after the European games, and then you know that if they hammer Harlequins, they're only what 5 points behind them right now. So suddenly they are back in the mix. I suppose there is an element of their own destiny. But I suppose you all have your own destiny, right? Because it's so tight at the moment. You know, there is that in the running. In any case,
Tom Roebuck though, oh, could have had four, botched the third, and then got another one. Then he was all good. But Ben Curry, my God, man, he was mental, like unstoppable indeed. He was just maiming people. Set up the first try as well. To be fair to him, strong game.
Let's head over to the URC, Ryan. You were experting all over that at the weekend, and what for you, big result of the weekend?
Yeah, wasn't I in Llanelli?
Llanelli, mate.
Llanelli. I try not to stay down there. I stayed in Cardiff, but Matt, more importantly, that state place was very naughty. Very naughty. They were talking of beef fat. They cooked the hash browns in beef drippings,
yeah.
And it was like a cube of just fucking
perfect
glory.
Crispy fluffiness.
Oh, I'm hungry now.
Oh, I'll have to introduce you to Ollie. There's a guy, Meat Matters, and he provides all the restaurants down there. So
there's a Meat Matters on Wapping Wharf, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, is that? He owns the meat company, so. But he came down with us for a bit of brekkie. But that is a proper brekkie. 9:30 in the morning, sirloin steak on the bone.
Was that
eggs hash brown? It was at 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock in the morning. I was like,
yeah.
No,
and the thing is, a couple of the Glasgow boys, because I stayed in Cardiff, so a couple of the Glasgow boys, I went with Aki Suli and was meant to go with Nico, but a few of the boys, oh, we'll come and have breakfast with you. But I didn't want to be the reason for them full of steak. And the last thing you want is a kilo of steak before you play a match, eh, mate? It's just not good for the guts.
What would be your go-to pre-match, though?
I've forgotten. What did I was just a bit of pasta. I was pretty easy. Bit of pasta, sausage pasta, I liked. But I'd try and stay away from red meat because of the digestion or something. That's what I heard once.
Oh, no, I just pile it in. But yeah, fair play.
Really?
A lot of boys say that about steak. I just don't feel that way about it.
No, I'd stay away from anything red meat-wise. But otherwise, I was pretty... Actually, thinking back, I was pretty strict with what I ate on game day. I'd mainly load up the day before, though. That's what I would do. I'd absolutely hammer like carbs, everything.
Yeah,
I didn't need to eat too much on game day. Is that what you did?
I'm 100% with you. I don't like being full on game day. So if it's 3 o'clock kickoff, I'll get up early, eat like what I need to. So like a bowl of porridge and some meat, and then I'm ready to go. No pre-match for me. And then similar. If it's
I saw something the other day with one of the players who said he just doesn't eat on game day at all.
Yeah, I can get behind. It's like I sort of get that. I get that. Like, because your glycogen stores, if you're the day before, if you've eaten effectively, you'll be sweet. Like the hungry wolf hunts the hardest. A lot of people like to feel kind of svelte like a boomer before they go out into the field. And I've respect. I think Carl Sinclair does that. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. You basically
aren't you just tired after a while?
No, because you're guaranteed to shit it all out anyway.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
It is like like you said, the gladiators. You know that effect of nerves where
cows deploy, don't they? Like, or like clockwork. You're like, yep, here it comes. Yeah. Your brain subconsciously just knows what's about to go down. And
it's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. Like your body.
Wait, so aren't just that. In the run up, just before, aren't the bogs just completely locked up? You've got like 10 lads just all dropping their guts.
Pretty yeah, much, it's. Yeah. It's a
well, everyone has a different time. It's not all in, we're not synced up. It's not like a menstrual cycle. It's like you're like, it's just different timings. But
yeah, but on that, how bad is it when you get to a ground and there's only like one shitter? There's three urinals and one shitter, and everyone you can just tell this is going to be.
Or it's like a really inhospitable toilet. Oh, I hate that. You know, when you got to go to a grim Portland.
Benetton Treviso. Benetton Treviso, hole in the floor. They don't even have the
ball. Oh, that is just...
Yeah, but have you been to the home dress? Because if I owned a club, I'd be like, home dressing room would be a five-star spa. The away one would quite literally just be a hole in the floor.
And that's what they do. That's what a lot of clubs do. I'm all for it. But Benetton Treviso, someone goes in after we've won, we come back in and someone goes into the toilet and they're like, what the fuck has happened in here? It was like Guesthouse Paradiso, just shit all up the walls. Turned out Johnny Gray, he had a bit of a dodgy guts before the game. But where he'd rushed to pull his trousers down, he'd shit all up the wall.
Good God.
He'll love that I'm sharing that on here as well. But it was a disgrace. Yeah. It was an absolute disgrace. Anyway, Benetton, great weekend.
Well, we got fecal quickly there, didn't we?
But no, I went down. Glasgow did the job on Scarlets, hammered them 45-3. Scarlets are struggling. I did feel for them afterwards, like Dwayne Peel and that. They're under the pump down in Wales. But a good win for Glasgow, which sets them up nicely for this weekend. They needed that. They push up to second in the league. And then if you look at the other game the night before, Leinster versus Bulls, it was like, I think it was 14-13 at half time. Like a real battle. And then Leinster just showed the class, just pulled away, ended up thrashing the Bulls. So that's what we expect from Leinster, don't we? But you thought the Bulls would have put more of a fight up in the second half. So that's a big one. They're pretty much, that's it. Leinster, I think, are through to the sort of the quarterfinals. They'll be in there with a home quarter. But Glasgow, Bulls, pulling away. And then who have you got just below them? I'm trying to think.
Munster, just a couple of points behind the Bulls. But then Stormers again, are coming so through as well. Yeah,
it's so tight in there as well. So, yeah, Stormers just scraped through against Ulster, I think, at the weekend. But there's some big results. And, yeah, what else do you want to know? I don't even know what else there is on that.
Were there nothing, I mean, from your perspective, I mean, it's good to see, we did mention Benetton because we weren't sure, you know, up and down. And then suddenly they're back again, back in the mix. But it does show how quickly, you know, you can, because it's so tight, those wins are incredibly useful. But Ryan, from your perspective, who do we think the top four will see any more change?
I reckon the top three, I think the top three are there because the Bulls have got some home games and no one wants to go and suck through straws in Pretoria. So I think Leinster, Glasgow, Bulls, touch wood and whistle for Glasgow, cement their top three spots. For who gets into the fourth spot, it is a proper toss-up. Munster, Stormers, Benetton, I reckon. It'll be one of those three. But remember, top eight go through. So it's going to be interesting. It is good, though, isn't it? Having the end of the season like this where it's so tight in the middle. It's like evening out. You like to see it. But no, I'm confident that'll be your top three, Leinster, Glasgow, Bulls. And that's it. We head into Europe this weekend.
Well, speaking of which, let's look ahead to Europe this weekend because there are some tasty ties to tuck into, none other than Glasgow versus Quins, or Quins versus Glasgow, rather, where, Ryan, you're going to be at the game, I believe, in London?
I am. I'm TNTing it. I'm down there doing the big one. Boys, it's going to be good. Like, that's what I mean. After watching the atmosphere against Bath, then you go into Europe, Champions Cup, last 16. I'm buzzing for it. I think it's going to be an unreal game down there. I think we'll see a few changes in the Glasgow team. Whether Sione Tuipulotu is fit in time, he's touch and go, I think. So we'll find out. But that's going to be a good matchup because Glasgow like to play. And I can't think the last time that Glasgow would have played Quins. It would have been for fucking ages. We always end up getting like a Sarries or, but what's the most exciting?
Bath Sarries, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. But if they do the job, I know I'm looking forward ahead too quickly, but Sarries play Bordeaux over there in Bordeaux, right? And selfishly, the week after the quarterfinals, if Bordeaux win, will be in Bordeaux. So guess who might get a little trip out to Bordeaux? That's all I'm hoping for. I just hope that both teams win so I can go to Bordeaux. I'm not worried about the rugby too much.
Yeah, from your perspective, Glasgow, where do we see that one? At the Stoop?
Oh, it's going to be tough, but I've got to go with my boys. I've got to go with my boys. I think that I reckon the way that Glasgow defend could cause Quinns some problem. And then they, I don't know, I wonder whether Quinns underestimate Glasgow. I still wonder whether like a lot of the Premiership teams underestimate the URC as well. I still sense that feeling of people in the Prem, especially the fans, being like, oh, URC, it's shite compared to what we've got. So it'll be a big tell, won't it, this weekend to see what happens with a few of the teams in there.
Max, to you, because I definitely over the last 2 or 3 years, we found that, didn't it? And I felt it, Ryan, when you talk, that Max would be like, yeah, but we're at the Prem. We're the Prem. So, you know, so your little thing up there, lovely stuff. It's
changed now, isn't it?
Yeah, good.
I'd say it's changed now, yeah. But I'd say that game is going to be the... There's no really a firm favourite there. I think that's the tightest game out of the sort of... this round for me, Glasgow versus Quinns. The rest of them you sort of can favour someone, but I think that one will be very tight, 50-50 call.
Who are you going for though, Max? You got to pick one.
I'm going to say Quinns.
Oh, you bastard.
I'll pick them just.
Bulls versus Lyon. Obviously, Bulls, very good form. At home with the altitude, what do we think?
Nah, Bulls, they're horrible. They are just giant. Yeah, mate, that was a tough day out. I think, and they're at home as well. They're serious. They're super soldiers, Kryptonian Saffers. Horrible.
Yeah, with some of the big boys, some of the big boys that Lyon have got,
they could be smuggling around the park in that altitude.
Oh, sorry, they've got the big boys, but they'll get the Taufi Fanuas and Taufua and stuff will get a little bit tired.
Yeah, well, when Lyon get over there, they'll be like, oh no, their big boys will be panicking about it already, I reckon. I genuinely think they'll be thinking, oh no, this is going to be a lot.
It was weird though, they almost got it done, didn't they, Lyon, in the group stages earlier on?
Yeah.
God.
They went ahead, didn't they, Bulls, hard, and then Lyon sort of came back and almost got it done. But no, I think this time round the Bulls will make more of a dominant display.
So we're both going for Bulls in that one.
Yeah.
So Bulls, Lyon. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think the Bulls will be too strong over there, especially up at altitude.
Storms v La Rochelle.
That's a sweet little game, right? I mean, what do we think? That's
I've got La Rochelle for that. I think La Rochelle have come into some form.
I don't think Stormers have lost this season at home. So
you got Stormers.
Yeah, I think the Stormers. I mean, I don't know. I'll be honest, I haven't really been following the top 14 a huge amount. But La Rochelle aren't doing as well. Just looking here, they're fifth in the league at the moment. They've not been as good as they have been in the past. But European Cup is different, isn't it? People turn up. It's you look at someone like the Sharks in the Challenge Cup. They're putting all their eggs in that basket. They've got Zebre, I think it is, this weekend, the Sharks. So they know that they can end up doing something special in the Challenge Cup. So. Yeah, you could be right, Max, because La Rochelle have got pretty good pedigree in this tournament. But I don't know, I think there's something about the Storm.
Oh, I don't know now that I've looked at their fixtures. They're like...
Damien Villemza, they've got a dangerous back three that will be thrown around. Now, again, talking of atmospheres, down there in Cape Town, that'll be so good. That'll be such a good game to go to. And you'd expect a lot of French travelling support because it's a little bit different, isn't it? Outside of Europe, little trip away, see the sunshine.
La Rochelle fifth in the top kettles.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then so, they played already. Do you remember in the group stage earlier in the season, Stormers winning with the last kick of the game, and that game was, you know, was whatever it was, 21-20. And, you know, don't discount that La Rochelle side with Rog at the helm.
I'm sticking with Stormers. You're going La Rochelle.
I'll be La Rochelle, yeah.
No, we have it.
The All-Prem clash, Exeter versus Bath.
But I know Exeter got sort of
their asses handed to them.
Yeah, they got their bottom spanked, didn't they, down at Sale. But yeah, just I know there'll be a reaction from the. But I think even though it's at home, I think Bath will get it done. They got so much confidence, I think, and then coming back in that the way they did against Quinns, I think they'll be all right. I think I'm going to go with Bath.
Yeah, 100% Bath all day. They'll do the job on Exeter.
So confident with with no real empirical evidence or previous track record of being right, but great. All right, Bordeaux versus I know it. Gambling man, Bordeaux versus Saracens. We recall back to that Bordeaux. Yeah, I know you want Bordeaux to win.
No, but I don't. Selfishly, I want Bordeaux. But also, if Sarries win, then Glasgow get a home quarter against Sarries, which they've never had. They've always, every fucking quarter final, we ended up down at Sarries at the Stonehenge, and it was brutal. So, for the boys, I obviously want a home quarter.
But your brain's telling you Sarries going to do it.
Yeah.
I think they're going to do it. I think Sarah's going to do it.
Really?
I think they might.
Guys, you remember 55-15 back in January? I know. It's surely a residual scar somewhere.
I don't know, man. I think that nothing quite like a Owen Farrell scorned. I think it will be a very, very different game. Very different. I'm going to go with Harrison's retribution.
That Bordeaux side, though. Pernod, Jalibert, De Portier, Tamafuna. Louis Biel Biarri.
No, don't get me wrong. I know that team is loaded, but I have a feeling. I have a feeling that Sarries are going to get it done.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is a hard one to call, isn't it? Did you see, who was it cracking into Ben Earl at the weekend after a scrum penalty from Northampton, getting in his face, giving like celebrating like Ben Earl?
Oh, what does he look like? I didn't see it.
It was one of the back rows for Northampton. Six or seven, I can't remember who it was.
It wouldn't be Sammy Graham, he's too nice.
No, it wasn't him. If you say his name, I'll remember it. But scrum goes down, Northampton win the penalty, Northampton are winning, they're beating Sarries, and he's like, yeah! Like, celebrating. And the thing is, though, the Sarries boys like kicking off, like McFarlane pushing, Faz coming in trying to give a bit. You're like, hold on a minute. You can't give it out and then not take it, boys. It's like fair play to him. I liked it. I got a lot of time for that. But yeah, on that one, Bordeaux, Sarries. Oh, I need a trip to Bordeaux. I need to see the sun. So, although saying that.
Oh, was it Pearson?
Pearson, yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good crack.
Got time for that. Boys, I'm off to. I do the game on Friday night, right?
Yeah.
I do the game on Friday night, and then I jump straight on a plane the next morning to Hong Kong. It's unreal, man. It's Hong Kong 7 this weekend, baby. He's landing in for the Sunday of the 7s. So good.
Maybe I'll go for that.
Oh no, you can't. You're training on the Monday, won't you? Yeah. But keep your eyes peeled, boys. I'm heading to Hong Kong. I land at 6:30 in the morning on the Sunday, the final day of the Sevens. Last ever time it's played at the old Hong Kong stadium.
So. In the city, it's right in the city centre. They're moving it out to by the old airport. So this will be.
Everyone has said to me, Wilson, have you ever been to Hong Kong? For the Sevens, and I'm like, nah, and they're like, oh god, oh no. Looking forward to it.
He's like, I'll go to Hong Kong, bye, mate. It should be good,
yeah. Let's just gonna win that,
right? Start that again. Let's start again. Leinster versus Leicester. Thoughts?
We all know what's about to happen there, yeah. Leinster.
I reckon it could be a big one. I think it could be an absolute demolishing. I'm calling 50 points.
Yeah, it could be something like that.
Yes, there's our viral clip. No, say it.
I am.
50 points.
I like the way that Leinster just went against the Bulls at the weekend, and they were throwing the ball about in the second half. Like Conan, all of the boys just doing bits. James Lowe. I think they could get their asses handed to them over there. I think it's going to be a big score. I think Leinster will do the job.
Big score.
But then again,
you can't have them.
But then again,
50
you're thinking about it,
and then
do they go full force? Because they've obviously then got they're looking at the quarters. The quarters the week after, isn't it? So they'll still go. I think they'll go all out.
Okay. Yeah, I think they will, because wouldn't a lot of the Irish boys still be being rested?
So they'll be bringing those guys back in. So okay, you're both thinking big wins for Leinster. Max, you thinking a big win? What are you thinking?
I think it's going to be a dominant display from Leinster. Yeah.
Okay. And then our final one, the Saints, Northampton versus Munster. Heck of a game in the pool stages, if you remember, with Finn Smith.
Well, it's a big game. Yeah. Big game, Courtney Lawrence, Finn Smith. Yeah. That's a toughie. Will O'Mahony's Munster men triumph at the Gardens?
They're unbeaten since that game, just so you know.
Yeah, but against Scarlets, Zebre, Ospreys and Cardiff, and like not bagging any three of those.
You did. Just if
Welsh
anybody's watching it, they've watched the way your face was looking at it. It was a bagging face, mate.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what I mean? It's not really. And then Zebre in there, rock bottom of the league. So, yeah, they might be unbeaten, but Northampton aren't any of those teams. So, Northampton at home, Franklin Gardens. For me, Max, I think you're the same, aren't you?
I think
we're going Northampton.
Yeah, Saints get it done.
Fair play, fellas. Yeah. There we go. So that is our roundup. It promises to be a heck of a weekend of rugby coming up. And whilst you are there, and then you're straight off to Hong Kong.
Any words of advice, Mark, for when I'm in Hong Kong? I'm slightly nervous.
Take your time. You will never have been in a situation, genuinely, where you are locked in a stadium with 50,000 people who are there from 7:45 in the morning, where there is nothing to do except rugby and drink, but for an extended period of time. And there'll be some half time. There'll be, you know, I remember where was the last time I was there was the Beach Boys were playing, and you're like, you're having such good fun. You're like, oh, look, there's the Beach Boys just playing just on the pitch. And then it's that beautiful mix of, you know, entertainment, pleasure, your two favorite things, the lash and rugby, and probably your third favorite thing. Everyone's in fancy dress.
Oh my gosh, shall I get dressed up as Batman, Max?
Don't remind everyone.
I would like you to.
Max, have you ever done the Hong Kong
tour? No, I've always wanted to, though. I've heard it's some of the greatest fun ever. Apparently it's like a festival in its own right.
Yeah, but that's what Ryan's doing for us, Max. He is building all the connections for our live show next year, right? Don't forget, that is the main aim of why you're there.
Yeah, so obviously looking forward to Hong Kong. But what is, Mark, as you said, I'm going over there, build connections for the podcast. And there's a new chairman of the Hong Kong Scottish coming in, who actually, I've been informed, listens to the podcast. So I'll get over there, put some graft in. We'll be in Hong Kong next year, boys. We'll be doing...
What? Let's go to Hong Kong and talk rugby.
Oh, I don't know if we need to talk rugby, but we'll be...
we'll be doing other things.
I'm looking forward to it. I've heard some good stuff, but I am slightly nervous. I think I fly. I leave Amsterdam at 12:30 in the afternoon, and then I get there at 6:30 in the morning. So I've got to try and sleep.
Sleep and mate, just pace your day. This is what I always thought. Pace your day. Oh, another one. Very, very. You might not think this, but one very good piece of advice was: do all of your bits before you get to the stadium. Don't need to go to it. Some of the most frightening experiences in my life have been where I have needed to go for a number two and go for a dump, and then I've had it where I've queued, and then mate, there's only four loos, two of them are out of order, the queue's out the door. By the time you get, I had it where I started panic attacking because I then got the fear whilst on the loo, even though I needed to so badly, I got the absolute fear, and then everybody starts banging and screaming, Aussie guy comes over the top, mate, the fuck are you doing? Hurry up. And I'm there like holding all my clothes, pouring sweat, trying desperately to go to the loo. And in the end, I just couldn't do it. Just got up. Got out. Oh, it was so bad, honestly. Because also the Aussie guy's like, guys, everyone shut the fuck up. Let him go, because he's obviously having a problem. And so then everyone shuts up, and you're like, well, I can't. go now. It was awful. So make sure you do that, please.
That is your one word of advice. Do a poo before I get to the ground.
Yes, that.
Mm. Don't eat.
Mark, that is wise. Thank you so much.
As always, a huge thank you to you all for watching and listening. Like and subscribe. Thanks to Ryan, to Max. Max, enjoy your time off. And Ryan, enjoy what is an amazing sort of weekend that you're going to have the following weekend. Rugby, fun, everything. Cannot wait to hear from the broken human being that will come onto the pod for next week. So, yeah, safe travels, mate. Thank you.
Wish me luck, boys. Wish me luck. Yeah, I am.
Best of luck, old man. I'm so jealous. So jealous.
Oh, I'll keep you up to date. I'll keep you up to date.
Yeah, get weird. Get weird for me.
Peace.
Bye.
More or nothing.